11,772, and it's a variance height from a fence. And this is in Lewis.
The record was left open for this application?
Yes, and Ms. Cornwell, I appreciate that. Members of the board, my name's Chad Lingenfelder, attorney of record for Mr. Todd, the Smith firm. I do first off want to apologize for my absence from the meeting. Again, it's no excuse is worth the record. However, the computer system for our schedule did crash, and this was deleted from the record on my end. However, again, I want to throw myself on the mercy of the board and thank everyone for not throwing it against my clients for them being unrepresented and rescheduling this for the next opportune time. So again, I would appreciate the time. A packet was given, and again, I don't know if you have that packet again of information, but yes, Mr. Todd is seeking a variance of Chapter 115, Section 185, Subsection C regarding residential fencing height. The restriction states 3.5 feet is to be permitted. However, we are asking for a 6-foot height variance of the metal gate, as well as a 4.25 foot wooden fence height related to all of the wooden fencing around it. And there are pictures related in your packet. Again, we are asking for that variance based on different criminal activity that is rampant in the area, as well as the commercial areas surrounding the property due to noise and illumination pollution. As you can see, the residential property faces 113 directly into the gable end of the development. Mr. Todd has three properties, lots. If you would look at Exhibit B of your packet, those are the, this is the survey that was done, and it shows that there are actually three parcels, lot 27, 28, and 29. Even though that they are rectangular in shape, there is a drainage easement, as well as the right side of the property is at a slant. So even though it may be in a square shape, it is still of an irregular nature. And its location, again, is at the center entrance of the development, which is directly facing 113. Across the street, I would note as well, if you look at your packet in Exhibit D, it crosses, I don't know if anyone's familiar with Laurel, but it does face R&R restaurant, as well as the Oasis trucking fill-in station. And so there is heavy traffic regarding in and out and tractor trailers, dump trucks, things of that nature that illuminate at all times of night that shine directly into Mr. Todd's property. Mr. Todd's been there since 1999. However, as we can see throughout the county, more and more commercial as well as residential as well as industrial traffic is not only on 1, but also on 113 on that side of the county. So again, as you can see, going through the criteria of the board, uniqueness of the property. Again, I would go through the situation of it being not necessarily the shape of the property. However, it is the location of it adjacent to the commercial properties. Again, I would look to your immediate, if we go east, there is a hotel that is right there to the bottom part, as well as a medical center directly across from the hotel. And again, if we cross over 113, we can see that there are numerous commercial properties. Everything, if the board will allow me. Everything on this side of 113 is commercial. And so as we see, we have different entrances and exits, and there is an intersection change exactly in front of Mr. Todd's property. And again, as Ms. Cornwell was showing, this is a hotel, which we'll get into in a bit about the illegal activity going on, as well as a medical research center that uses Chipman's Lane most exclusively. And that has been an issue as well for traffic. Going into the situation regarding the illegal activity, there have been numerous ownership changes since Mr. Todd's ownership of the property of the hotel that is shown on in question. Delaware State Police, as well as Laurel Police Department, have been actively involved in not only curbing illegal criminal activity, drug activity, as well as prostitution. They have been successful in some ways, but it also have failed in other ways. Mr. Todd will be able to speak if the board will allow him. There have been numerous calls and numerous violations of not only his personal safety, but his property safety as well, with people transversing across through the development, all the way through Mr. Todd's property to the hotel and back forward. And as you can see, there is an ability to cut through the property to get on the back end of Laurel to go further into the town of Laurel. I would show that Delaware State Police has taken extensive steps into this. If you would see Exhibit F of your packet, Delaware State Police Corporal Juana Huey made a presentation to Lakeside Manor community about their security. In that, you've been given the packet that was that CD that was given to the community center. And if I can draw your attention to deterrence to the max section of that packet, of that application, Mr. Todd's fence is shown as an exhibit of what maximum security would be to protect your home from any sort of nuisance, illegal activity, criminal intrusion on the property. So Delaware State Police, in its own independent review, believe that Mr. Todd's property and his fence was the proper way to deter any illegal activity to the max. And as most people can assure themselves, Mr. Todd has in no way caused this illegal activity to be placed upon himself or his property. Again, the situation is that the hotel has changed hands numerous times, as well as the truck site across the 113 has caused the increase in the illegal activity. Cannot otherwise develop the second criteria. Again, a lot of these overlap each other. But the necessity for a 6-foot gate and the 4.25 fence is again for security purposes. People have made attempts to even try to climb the fence and they have failed. The fence has made significant steps into the curb of the criminal activity and the trespass, both criminal and civil trespass upon Mr. Todd's property. And again, without the fence height and increase, a three and a half foot fence can be easily scaled. And so because of this 4.25 and the 6-foot gate fence, it has curbed any sort of attempts to even scale it due to this size. Again, more of a deterrent than anything in its application, as well as the commercial noise and pollution. Again, the solid fence allows Mr. Todd and his wife and family to enjoy the outdoors when it comes dusk. So there is no commercial lighting and industrial trucks. Number three of the criteria, not created by the applicant. Again, I would hope the board would understand that Mr. Todd has in no way caused any criminal activity to be occurring on his property. If anything, Mr. Todd has been a stalwart for the community with the neighborhood watch. And I believe Delaware State Police, as well as the Laurel Police Department, have adamantly praised him for his efforts. Section 4 of the criteria will not alter the accessible character of the neighborhood. There are numerous fences within the neighborhood, and they were in the same like mind and idea design that Mr. Todd put in place. He wanted it, again, to create a homogeneous mixture within the community, and so he has modeled his fence off of other people's. The only thing that is the difference is the height. The fifth criteria, the minimum variance. Again, we believe, with Mr. Todd talking to various people in the fencing industry, that the 4.25-foot fence would deter anyone from scaling the wall, as well as the 6-foot gate fence would also deter that, as well as making it easier for entry both into his property and outside of his property. Within your packet as well, as Section F or Exhibit F, there are G in your packet. There were 7 neighborhood people involved that support Mr. Todd's petition and have no opposition, as well as Ms. Cornwell informed me that the day I was absent, that 4 people personally came to support Mr. Todd and his application, as well as there are people in the gallery today that would also support him verbally, as well as any actions taken by this board. So again, I would allow Mr. Todd to be sworn in and give testimony to this board today.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Rick Todd, 244 Lewis Drive, Laurel, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Todd, are you the owner of 244 Lewis Drive in Laurel, Delaware, 19956?
I am.
Have you been involved in the application that is before the board today that has been signed by me on February 11th, 2016?
I have.
Were you in the gallery while I spoke just recently?
I was.
And is the testimony that I gave and the application that has been submitted to this board, to the best of your knowledge, true and accurate for the situation and circumstances that are on your property?
It is.
Would you like to give any other testimony or, again, your personal involvement with this property and why you're personally requesting the variance for the height of the fence?
Well, we've had a number of incidents. Beans were right behind the motel. A liquor store is next to the motel. And starting at the end of this month, the migrant workers will come for the melon fields. And I've been attacked 4 times in my driveway. That's with guns and that's with knives. And I've been fortunate enough that I can fend them off, but the next time I might not be able to. So we didn't feel safe going out at night. People were wandering in the front yard drunk, wanting money and wanting this and that and a ride. They wanted rides uptown. There's traffic through that neighborhood all the time, even though the sign says no through traffic, because if you're familiar with it, I don't know, Carville or Carville Gardens. Mm-hmm. They walk from there to the motel, to the truck stop, to the liquor store, and across the road to the Shady Acres. Mm-hmm. And they cut through everybody's yard. And you get out in the morning or night, 24 hours a day, you don't know who's going to be in the yard.
To ask you a question, Mr. Todd, since you've put the fence, has any sort of illegal activity, again, on your personal property existed since the fence has been put up and erected?
Nope.
I would bring Mr. Todd to, if anyone on the board would have any questions of Mr. Todd.
Does any member have any questions?
Well, you know why they put the 3.5-foot fence, just so you can see. Okay, a safety reason. Is there any visual problem with that at all for traffic?
We don't believe so, sir. Again, as you can see from the pictures, that why there is an open gate directly in front of the entrance with Chipman Lane, so you can actually see inside and outside of Mr. Todd's property, and that was designed by Mr. Todd in the fence designer for that. However, the other parts are enclosed for those purposes of turning in and out and the heavy traffic that's there. So safety was kept in mind for it being an open gated part. That's why that part's higher.
And you haven't had an incident since you had those?
No.
Up there.
No.
You ought to hire your lawyer also as a guard, because it looks like he's got pretty good guns on him.
Works for me.
We can make a good tag team.
Okay. No other questions, Mr.
Shane?
No questions.
No questions. Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Mr. Whitman? And Mr. Mills?
Yes. Mr. Todd, when you pull out of your driveway in a vehicle, is there any problems in seeing left and right and to proceed onto the road?
No.
Okay. Your fence sits back far enough from the road?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question, Ms. Cornwell. I see on Exhibit B survey, there's a couple of structures that are inside of 5 feet. Are they allowed?
They have been removed, or they've been brought into compliance with the code.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Mills, the focus at the time the survey was done was the safety reasons, but then speaking with Mr. Todd, steps were made to put the hot tub as well as the pergola into compliance, and so Mr. Todd removed one and then removed one totally and then moved the other one farther in. So, yes, this is an old survey, but the other two buildings are in compliance.
Thank you. No other questions.
Okay. Hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? 1, 2, 3. Would you wish to come up and speak? Anyone wish to speak? Or?
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Charles Swift, 109. Lewis Drive, Laurel, Delaware, 19956.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I did want to correct
yes, sir.
The gentleman here. That's Route 13, not Route 113. A big thing. What Mr. Todd was saying about the Relax-In Motel just to the southeast of his property, it has been a major crime, prostitution, drug type of property over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I am involved with a neighborhood watch program. I could be called the face of neighborhood watch for Lakeside Manor. And since Mr. Todd has put the fence up, there's been a lot less problem on his side of the neighborhood, and he's been able to monitor it just a little bit better. We still have issues in the neighborhood. I'm sure we always will,
mm-hmm.
but we are making progress with the state police.
Okay.
And I think Mr. Todd has done the right thing.
All right, sir.
Any
Thank you.
Questions or?
None? Okay. That's sir. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone or anyone else that wish to that?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anyone else, again, the last call that would like to come up that's in favor to speak?
That's okay.
Okay.
I think he's just more support. More support.
Okay.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
My husband and I, Stanley, we've lived in that neighborhood for 50 years. I can't believe what is happening to the older people in there. And we're all very frightened. And we have reason to be. We live on the opposite corner that can come in, and then they go out by Rick. They take it as a shortcut. I don't know. They don't use the stop signs. They don't use the yield. And they don't, I don't think they read. This is no through traffic. Well, there was a trailer park in back of Hardee's where they have all the tractor trailers coming in. They cut across every morning to go to North Laurel School. What they don't realize is their safety is going to the light, but they don't believe in the light. They just, and Senator Venables got us two, you know, things you ride over. Oh, heck, they think they're on the roller coaster. They go flying through there, and they have boom boxes in their cars. And it just goes on all night long anymore. And of course, we're close to the, then they put the, right across from where the doctor's office is in the motel, then they put the thing there, the donut shop. They cut through there to go to the donut place. The tractor trailers, when they leave the northbound lane and make a swing to go south, they don't go to the light where they have a huge intersection. They'll turn there and ride up over the curb at the motel. I don't know how they can stop it, but we have a pivot hedge on our side of the road. And if we didn't have that, they'd run into it a half a dozen times. They would have been right in our driveway. That's coming from the east. And those that are coming from around where Chuck lives, they run into the hedge that way. And if we hadn't had our hedge there, we would have been down the tubes many years ago. Now, what happened to our area is it was supposed to be family homes, and they started selling. And what we have in there is Section 8, and that has devalued our property. And it's just a teetotal mess, because when the migrant workers come to the motel to go to the auction block, which you're all familiar with, they come through there with the watermelon trucks. They will not go down to that light on Route 9 and turn. And we've tried to stop that, but they just throw their trash out from Hardee's, from the donut shop, over. I wouldn't even tell you what was in our pivot hedge. And we've been there 50 years. I'm 85 and he's 86. I hope to live there a while longer.
Well, I hope so too.
But he's right. You're afraid to go out at nighttime at all. And Rick and Penny, where they live, I feel so sorry for them, because people, they don't obey the traffic signs. Mm. And if you tell them, they get angry with you, so now you're whatever, probably shoot you. So we try to stay in the house. I appreciate you letting me talk. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Ready? Is there anyone? No. Sir?
Yes.
Are you in opposition?
No, I'm for it. Or opposition.
Okay.
Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. Morning, Earl.
Previously been sworn in, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
This is the question that I was waiting for and reading through the agenda and stuff. With the 4.5 foot height and the fence requirement for the code, like I said, I've came in when you've done other variances for the 6 foot fences and the different fences, trying to understand what the fence code for the 3.5 feet versus the state code for the 4 feet and vice versa. in the code for figuring out whether it's an open fence to 3.5, a closed fence. What is the open height fence requirement in the front? Whether you're going to have the 3.5 foot with solid, 4 foot for open, 5 foot, 6 foot open, where's the limit in the first 30, 40 feet around the property? Which I believe the code says 3.5 feet. Everybody should need a variance over 3.5 feet, whether it's open or closed. That's what the code says. That's what they want. The county wants to make it differently. Have the planning, zoning, or whoever, let's come up with a realistic code and make it 4 feet open. Get it to spell it out. But my main thing is what they just said, is with all the crime in the area, to keep out what they have, this is the perfect time where maybe I might get this question answered. They have a problem with the crime in the area, and they're going with the fence for the crime. Now, if they're going 4.5 feet up on that fence, and say in 6 months, they still have a person, you have the crime things come back, can they string a foot up of roll barbed wire around that property on the border? Is that legal under the code?
No. The only part I know about it is if you do any other than a farm, and I think Mr. Sharp can maybe correct me on this, but from what I've known, you can't put barbed wire fence up at all, period.
And I appreciate
the state. The state is the only one that can do that.
Can do that.
That was my thing. Well, I have Director Lang approving a different permit.
That's what I was taught.
I haven't researched that, to, you know, the barbed wire question, so I'd have to look into that.
Why don't you research that then? We'll let Mr. Sharp, if he can research that for us.
I'm right on that.
I'd have to double check the code to verify that.
That's what I was taught.
Because I have the barbed wire. I just want to know if they can.
Yeah, well, let us go ahead.
If they can come back without you saying, Director Lank, I'm putting barbed wire around my property, I'm done.
All right, well, let us get this researched. I'll send it back to the office then so we can give their case in.
Great.
We'll find that. We'll get Mr. Sharp or them.
How would I get to see a response on that?
Who?
How would I know the answer to that? Would Ms. Cromwell have that in a couple of weeks, possibly?
Maybe so.
Potentially.
Potentially. Give her 3 weeks, maybe a month then. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, let's do that then. All right, then. Is there anyone here who's in opposition? Apparently not. So, Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the applicant has certainly a unique situation. For the record, I'm a resident of Laurel, and I know that their testimony is true. I think that that situation creates a need in regard to the fence and the uniqueness of the situation. I think it's necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The hardship hasn't obviously been created by the applicant. It's the activity and the people around them, and we've got neighbors that are in favor of the request. So I didn't hear testimony that would alter the essential character of the neighborhood or be detrimental to public welfare. Perhaps it might be detrimental to criminal public welfare, but that's what they're trying to deter. I think it's a minimum request to afford relief, and I'd make a motion that we approve case number 11,772.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickman that we approve case number 11,772. Mr. Workman.
Aye for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickard.
Aye for the reasons stated.
And Mr. Hudson.
Aye for those reasons stated.
And Mr. Mills.
Aye for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reasons been stated. So by vote of 5-0, case number 11,772 is approved, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. And I appreciate, again, your ability to let me be heard today.
You're welcome indeed, sir.